Good morning. It is 9 minutes past 7 o'clock on a Sunday morning. Cloudy, 62 degrees out there. I'm Susie Jones. Happy to have you with us on this Memorial Day weekend. We are honoring all those who gave the ultimate sacrifice and served in this country to protect it, including my dad, Josh Wheeler, is at the helm this morning.
Nice.
My dad is buried at Fort Snelling, and we went there yesterday to honor him, and then we went to his mother, my Grandma Jones, and had a nice day.
There we go.
Yeah, a lot going on this weekend at Fort Snelling. Also, Lakewood's having a big big ceremony as well. So our thoughts on this Memorial Day. We're also talking, as we do every week, about a different part of your body, a different piece of your health that we hope will bring you some good information that you can take with you today on this Sunday. Allina Health Minneapolis Heart Institute announcing just recently that it has been the first to perform a procedure using a specialized piece of equipment. And we have invited to the program to talk more about that is Dr. Paul Zaraja, who is an interventional cardiologist. Good morning, Dr. Zaraja. Thanks for coming on with us.
Good morning, Susie, and thank you so much for having me.
I'm glad to have you. Can you kind of explain what this is? Maybe you can tell us what it is, and then how it works and who it will help.
Yeah, so this is a procedure that is called TriClip. And TriClip is a means of something we call transcatheter tricuspid valve repair. And what it does is it's a minimally invasive procedure in which we go through a vein in the leg and use a small device called a TriClip to put a leaky valve back together. And these leaky valves that happen in patients with tricuspid regurgitation actually are quite common, affecting millions of people in the United States alone.
So then does this end up replacing open heart surgery?
In many ways it does. If it is successful in reducing the leak, which it is in about 90 to 95% of cases, then it'll avoid the need for open heart surgery and the recovery that can go with that.
And I also wanted to ask how many people in the country are affected by this particular situation with their heart, leaky valves, as it were.
Yeah, so there are multiple different types of leaky valves in the heart because the heart has four different types of valves. But leaky valves that involve the tricuspid position or tricuspid regurgitation affects around 2 to 2.5 million people in the United States. So it's actually quite common, and it gets more common as people get older.
And how do you know if you have a leaky valve?
So these leaky valves, the way they affect patients is they cause symptoms of shortness of breath. They can cause some fatigue. Sometimes patients can feel they can't finish their meals because there's congestion in their bowel or in their legs. So they might have something known as low extremity edema or swelling of the legs. And sometimes these symptoms are really just vague. In other words, they seem like they could be due to something else, and sometimes it's just not quite right.
Again, you are listening to Dr. Paul Zaraja with Allina Health Minneapolis Heart Institute talking about a new procedure using Abbott's TriClip transcatheter repair system. And basically, when you see someone and they present, what is the process by which you determine whether or not they are a likely candidate?
So the first thing is to decide whether or not the symptoms are related to the problem. And so we look at the problem of the leaky valve and see how severe it is. And if it looks like it is severe through diagnostic testing, such as an ultrasound of the heart or something we call an echocardiogram, then from there, as a clinician, we do a lot of investigative work to make sure that the valve can be repaired with the TriClip system. That investigative work would include further testing like an echocardiogram in which a probe is passed down the esophagus to take a closer look at the valve. And the reason why that has to be done is because this system is a repair system, and we have to be sure that we can repair the valve. Sometimes we can't repair the valve, and the valve has to be fully replaced.
It is 7:14 on News Talk 830 WCCO, and we want to invite you to be part of the conversation as well. If you're listening and you have someone who has this condition or you have a question about it, the number to call is 651-461-9226, 651-461-9226. You can either call that number with a question or you can text it, and we'll pass it along to the doctor as we continue our conversation on this new procedure at the Allina Health Minneapolis Heart Institute. We'll be back right after this. And we're back. It is 18 minutes past 7 o'clock on a Sunday morning. I'm Susie Jones. We're talking about your heart this morning on this Sunday, this Memorial Day weekend. Dr. Paul Saraja is with us. He is a cardiologist, and he is with the Allina Health Minneapolis Heart Institute. And we're talking about a new procedure that was done there to help those with leaky valves or leaky hearts. Dr. Saraja, we do have some text questions coming in at 651-461-9226. You can call or you can text 651-461-9226. A person texted in a short bit ago asking, my husband is 79 and has aortic stenosis. Would using this procedure help him? And what is aortic stenosis, doctor?
So great question. So aortic stenosis is a condition of the heart that affects the valve of another valve in the heart called the aortic valve. And it's actually very, very common in patients in that age group, affecting around 3 to 5% of patients. And what aortic stenosis does is it causes a narrowing of the aortic valve to where there's increased pressure as the heart is trying to empty. And that valve condition can also be treated with a catheter. It's a different type of catheter that we use, and usually, almost always, we just simply have to replace that valve because it's a different condition. Aortic stenosis cannot be repaired, but we can replace it. But the procedure and the recovery is very similar to the TriClip system. It's a procedure that takes about 45 minutes or so. And the patients usually can go home the next day. Sometimes patients with aortic stenosis cannot be treated with a catheter-based procedure. In those cases, they need to have open heart surgery.
All right, thank you for that. 651-461-9226, 651-461-9226. And this tricuspid valve regurgitation, am I saying that correct?
You are.
Great. Texter writes in, is this particular condition hereditary? Does it run in families?
It can in a small number of cases. Around 90 to 95% of the time, it's related to getting older, and it's related to having some other cardiovascular conditions that can cause enlargement of the heart. But in about 5% of cases, it can be inheritable and related to a condition that's genetic. Something called degenerative disease, and that is inheritable.
651-461-9226, another question coming in. I had a failing bicuspid aortic valve replaced with a bovine valve. Could this system that is more conservative could have been used instead?
Yeah, so that bicuspid valve, it's similar to the question that was asked earlier about aortic stenosis. Bicuspid valve disease can either cause stenosis or leak. And in those cases, because it's the aortic valve cannot be repaired. It has to be replaced. And so having it done with the bovine valve replacement was the most appropriate treatment for you.
Okay, good to know. Thanks for that text question, caller. We're talking about this tricuspid valve regurgitation, this condition, and I'm just reading here that I don't know this, but it is a condition in which the valve between the two right heart chambers, they don't close properly. And when that blood then, that leak, that causes a number of different problems. Is that true?
That's correct. And so the tricuspid valve sits on the right side of the heart. And what it is normally doing, it is normally carrying blood from the body to the lungs. And it's usually made of three leaflets. That's why it's called tri, so tricuspid, so three cusps. And in certain patients, as the heart can enlarge for a variety of reasons, those three leaflets have trouble closing. The way I often describe it to patients is it's like having a few doors that instead of shutting, the doors are swinging open. And as a result, that leak and congestion can then go backward and fill up the liver, the kidneys, the bowel. It can fill up the legs and cause swelling the legs. And then as a result, the heart doesn't work as effectively as it usually does.
So this is just blood that's running into your body that's filling up different places? How does it actually do that? You know what I mean?
Yeah. So think of the system in the heart. The heart, you know, and vessels are all designed as a system to move blood in one direction. So it's like one big river. These leaky valves, they're affecting that one directional river, kind of like the locks in the Panama Canal. Hmm. You know, these valves are meant to shut and allow pressure in that river to move to higher and higher stages of pressure. And so what happens is that if these valves leak, well, then that pressure that is meant to build up as it goes through the body simply goes backwards.
Isn't the human body fascinating?
It is.
Just
the most,
like...
amazing, most amazing engineering on this earth, in my opinion.
I mean, just you saying that, I guess I know about blood and such, but I really didn't understand it quite the way as you said it, with a river and different lock and dam systems, and not being able to close it properly upsets the entire process of the river flow. Because, yeah, that is so interesting. I love that.
That's right. That's how those valves work in the heart. So there are four valves, and the callers have asked about aortic stenosis, and we're talking about tricuspid, and those are two of the four valves that help with that lock system that increases pressure throughout the river.
Cool. 651-461-9226. If you have a question for Dr. Paul Zarosia with Allina Health, and we're talking about this new technology, this new procedure that's been used, we have some more questions and some more texts. A caller called in and didn't want to go on the air, but asks you this question: is having a leaky valve the same as having a heart murmur?
That's a great question. Mm. So typically it is. So
describe both, if you wouldn't mind.
Yeah, sure. So a murmur is the sound of turbulence within the heart. So in that river, if it's a really straight stream, it's going to be kind of quiet. But if that river is disturbed, just like if there's a rock in the river or a dam, then there's going to be some turbulence, and that's the sound of a murmur. So that turbulence can be due to a variety of things. It can be due to a narrowing of the valve. It can be due to a leaky valve. It can also be due to just somebody being really athletic and the blood is just rushing really fast. So a variety of things. So murmurs are a general term for turbulence in the heart, and valves can cause that turbulence, hence they can cause murmurs.
Oh, I love that. I love this visualization. That's what's happening. I'm sort of visualizing all of these rivers and locks and dams and and various other and sundry things affecting the river. I wanted to ask you this because and my mom is listening, because she always does on Sunday. God bless her. She always asks me how my cholesterol is, and I'm sort of poo-poo about it. I'm really sort of ridiculously laissez-faire about my health sometimes, and then I'm wildly concerned about it. I kind of vacillate between where I am at 61. Anyway, I had it checked on Friday, and I got the results back, and my cholesterol, total cholesterol, is 265. That is high, I believe.
It is high, and thanks for sharing. That is high.
Again, it's like it's a bad number. Should I be embarrassed? Should I not tell people? In terms of the river scenario, what does cholesterol look like in the river?
So that's a great question. And so the arterial bed and the venous bed within the body, you know, is part of that river. And when cholesterol is high, what can happen is that plaques can build up within those beds. And as a result, as if these plaques build up over time, they can cause an obstruction to the flow. And as a result, then that can put demands on the heart. And eventually, over time, it could cause heart trouble, including heart disease, a heart attack, or heart failure. So it's important to have that cholesterol check and try to mitigate or reduce that cholesterol as much as possible.
And in terms of mitigating that and taking sort of a Lipitor or something of that nature, is that safe or is it better to try to whatever? I mean, I'm not overweight, but lose weight and eat better. Can you do it with diet, or if it's a hereditary, if it runs in the family, are you just, you know, beating your head against a wall?
Well, we can't choose our parents. It is genetic to a large extent. But it is important to try to do diet. It's important to take medications when indicated. All those things help. And sometimes it is just genetic. That's just the way it goes. But, you know, taking those medicines are very safe. Medicines like statins, like Lipitor or Zocor or Crestor, these medicines have been around for many decades, and they've been shown to be very beneficial with very few side effects.
So once again, am I understanding the cholesterol and its how it fits into the river? You're saying it's more about the bed of the river, and that if it builds up plaque, it can close the arteries and the veins, and then you can have a heart attack.
That's correct. And these plaques, when they build up, they tend to affect the arteries more. They can affect the big arteries as well as the little arteries that feed our organs. And the way cholesterol affects and causes these plaques is that they tend to affect the peripheral organs more than the main conduits within the artery.
Okay.
So in other words, patients can get plaques in the arteries that feed the heart, plaques that feed the arteries in the brain, which can be associated with dementia.
Mm-hmm.
It can also affect plaques that feed the arteries in the kidneys and cause kidney disease. And those are unfortunate consequences, but they're all treatable if one sees a doctor and gets things measured appropriately.
Yeah, I was going to say, that's really the key, isn't it? At one point on a story I did, I'm really a news person, I just do this show on Sundays, I had an opportunity to go to the Minneapolis Heart Institute and take a test where you put your arms up, and is it measure plaque in your heart?
That's right. So I believe you probably had a calcium score.
Yes, calcium, that's it, yes.
Yep.
And it was really good. Right. It was really good, as I recall.
That's great.
That's good.
And so calcium is the result of inflammation in the blood vessels of the heart. And that inflammation, it's like scar. You know, calcification is our body's way of trying to take something that is foreign and make it and try to isolate it or react to it. And that calcification is what a marker of inflammation is in the heart. And so if one doesn't have calcification, that's good. If somebody does have calcification, then it does depend on the extent of it and also how much underlying disease there is.
Lot going on there. It is 7:31 on News Talk 830 WCCO. Want to make sure that you know, listening this morning, that you are invited to join the program. If you have a question, maybe you had something going on in your life and you wanted to bounce it off the doctor, 651-461-9226. That is our talk and text line. This texter writes, I have a mitral valve leak that is being watched now. For 1 week, I've had swelling in both feet and ankles and gained 5 pounds. Should I be concerned? I don't know if you want to address that. Go ahead.
I'd be delighted to. Yeah. So the mitral valve is another valve in the heart. So we've talked about the tricuspid and we've talked about the aortic so far this morning. And the mitral valve is on the left side of the heart. And it's a valve that has two parts, a front and back. And in terms of leaks, it is actually the one that has the most prevalence of leak in the United States. Anywhere from 8 to 10 million people in the United States can have a leaky mitral valve. And very similar to the tricuspid valve, when this valve leaks, it can cause congestion, it can cause shortness of breath, and the symptoms that are described with swelling of the legs. And it's very important that the mitral valve, if it is severe and if it's affecting a patient causing heart failure, that gets addressed, because the mitral valve, it can be life-threatening. Not that you need to go to the ER right now or anything, but life-threatening in a chronic basis over a period of many years.
All right, we have to take our bottom of the hour break and share news about weather, which everybody always appreciates, Dr. Shiraja. So we'll take a break here, but we've got some phone calls and more questions. I love talking about the heart. It's so fascinating now. I'm just learning so much about what a heart looks like and its function. More information on the heart coming up right after this on News Talk 830 WCCO. Good morning and welcome back. I'm Susie Jones, and you are listening to WCCO Radio in our Health Hour every Sunday morning at 7 o'clock. And we're talking about news from the Allina Health System, Minneapolis Heart Institute, announcing it is the first to perform a procedure using Abbott's TriClip transcatheter edge-to-edge repair system. And it helps people with leaky valves. And we are so grateful to have with us on our newsline Dr. Paul Shiraja, an interventional cardiologist, talking about the heart, this specific condition. And we have invited your calls and your texts, 651-461-9226. And we are getting a number of text questions. This texter writes, can sleep apnea cause this regurgitation or make it worse? Thanks.
Great question. Yes, it can. And the way it works, or way it does that, is that sleep apnea can cause pressures in the lungs to be elevated. And that those pressures, when they're elevated in the lungs, is also known as pulmonary hypertension. And pulmonary hypertension can cause or make a leaky tricuspid valve worse.
Okay, another texture. Having swollen feet and ankles for a week and no blood clots seen after ultrasound, I'm on beta blockers. And I guess they've been on this for 8 years. Just wondering if that they should be concerned.
So beta blockers themselves are not known to cause swelling of the legs. It might be written that way somewhere, in some log or description of side effects, but clinically, they're not known to cause swelling of the legs. Swelling of the legs can be due to a variety of things. Certainly, it can be due to tricuspid regurgitation or the leaky tricuspid valve, but it can also be due to other things like mechanical issues with the lower extremities or vascular circulation that the person describes.
651-461-9226. This texter writes, great show. I am fascinated by the many workings of the heart. Can alcohol or caffeine damage any or all of the parts of the heart? Thank you. That's a good one. That's
question.
I think a lot of people wonder
question.
About that. Yeah.
As I sip my morning coffee, I think about that. but no, caffeine would not be expected to affect the heart's function. Certainly, it can cause some irregularities in the heart's rhythm, per se, like skip beats that patients can sometimes feel as like palpitations. But caffeine itself does not affect the heart's function. Alcohol, on the other hand, can, in a heavy use scenario, cause the heart's muscle to become relatively weak. And over time, that weakness can cause the valves in the heart to leak more, simply because as the heart becomes weak, it enlarges, and that enlargement pulls these valves apart.
Okay. Well, that's good to know. I know I'm not against alcohol, but I know that it does a lot of damage. And I think I interviewed a doctor, an interventional doctor, years and years ago, who said alcohol is related to so many of the conditions that people come in with, chronic conditions, and it really does a number on your body. Another texter writes, I have SVT, and doctors have mentioned that having an ablation done would be a good idea. How is this done, and what is SVT, doctor?
Yes, so SVT stands for supraventricular tachycardia. And what that is the arrhythmia of the heart. The heart has a mechanical function. It has an electrical function. And the electrical system of the heart can sometimes become irregular for a variety of reasons. And the top chambers of the heart have to talk to the bottom chambers. And when the top chambers kind of get ahead of themselves, that's what we call it supraventricular tachycardia. Supra means above the ventricles, and tachycardia means a fast heart rate. These arrhythmias, they can be genetic. They can be related to a person's own particular circuitry within the heart. And like an electrician who would need to go in and repair an electrical system, we have a specialty within cardiology called electrophysiology, in which these physicians can use catheters like what I use, and these catheters can go in and treat these arrhythmias or SVTs. And they go in and touch up the electrical system with a procedure called an ablation. And the ablation, it works really well for patients with SVT. 99% of the time, it's all you need, and actually, it may be the only time you ever need a procedure again.
That's great. Thank you for that answer. A caller wanted to know, what are the risks involved in having your valve replaced for a patient who currently has or has had bladder cancer? Would that have an impact on? Yeah, I was going to say, if you have a condition like that, does that preclude you from having a procedure done?
Sometimes they do. Sometimes other procedures need to be done before a heart procedure needs to be done. But usually, because of the critical nature of the heart and the valve that go on, it's almost always the heart and its conditions that need to be treated first. The one exception that I can think of and tell you right now that's important, and this is important for all general health, is your teeth. Because whenever we do these procedures and we do repairs and replacements, we have to put little foreign bodies in there to help repair, replace these valves. And those foreign bodies potentially can become infected early on after they're implanted. And the most common reason for that infection is seeding of bacteria from one's teeth. And so ahead of these procedures, we always ask patients to get their teeth taken care of before we do these procedures.
Teeth? And like your teeth? Your teeth?
Yes, see a dentist. Yeah, to see a dentist.
Is that strange? That's kind of weird, isn't it? What do your teeth have to do with your health and heart?
Yeah, so it's amazing, and actually there's a lot of really interesting literature out there. But when we brush our teeth, what we do is we actually cause bacteria that live in our mouths to go into our bloodstream. And those bacteria, as they circulate within our bloodstream, usually because we have pretty healthy immune systems, those bacteria get cleared up without a problem. But every now and then, those bacteria can find themselves in areas that can cause an infection of the heart. And if one has foreign material in the heart, like material that's used for repair or replacement, that infection can happen as we brush our teeth. And as a result, it can become actually a life-threatening problem. So that's why it's really important for all of us to see dentists regularly and to make sure our teeth are clean. And we certainly have to insist upon that before we do interventional procedures like those that we do on the valve.
That's fascinating. I'm learning so much. This is like the best hour ever. All right, and we have to take our last break, but we have a lot of questions we'll try to squeeze in. It is 7:45 on News Talk 830 WCCO. All right, we're back. It is 7:50. We have about 6 minutes left with Dr. Paul Seraja, a cardiologist with the Line of Health, and we're talking about a new procedure using Abbott's TriClip transcatheter edge-to-edge repair system to treat leaky tricuspid valves. And Dr. Seraja, we have just about 5 minutes left, 6 minutes, so we'll get to as many questions as we can. Just want to say this. This texter wrote a short time ago, my wife had this procedure done on her left valve May 2nd. Out the next day, went very well. She's 78 with COPD, and open heart surgery was not a good idea. So there's a example of how this was used to help someone.
Fantastic. Yeah. That's wonderful to hear.
Yeah. What part of inflammation in the arteries does that play in plaque buildup, and what can we do, or what can cause that inflammation, this texter writes?
Yeah, so plaque buildup is related to inflammation, and we've learned that it really is an inflammatory disease. The inflammation happens as a response to things that insult the arteries of the heart. It can be due to high cholesterol. It can be due to things that we ingest. It can be due just to an overreaction from a genetic perspective to how our body deals with things that are in the bloodstream. And that inflammation then causes these plaques to build up over time. Plaques, as one way one might think about it, is it's kind of like when you get a cut on your skin and you have a little bit of scar that develops afterwards. That's what happens, is that the arteries themselves have some type of injury, and then the body reacts to it by building up these plaques around them.
Okay, very good. 651-461-9226. A caller wanted to know, what is cardiac amyloidosis? Did I say that right?
Yes, yes. So cardiac amyloidosis is it's a condition in which proteins that circulate within the bloodstream get abnormally deposited in the muscle of the heart. And it can also be deposited in the blood vessels. And that deposition of a protein over time, what it does is it causes the heart muscle to not be able to function as well as it should. And the heart has a couple of functions. It has a function of needing to be able to fill and then needing to be able to empty. Just like that analogy of the river I described earlier, it's a river that constantly has to be pushed throughout the system. And what happens in patients with amyloidosis is that the proteins that get deposited in the muscle of the heart reduces the heart's ability to fill. It becomes relatively stiff. And over time, patients can then develop congestive heart failure because the lungs cannot empty into the heart like they should.
Interesting. All right. This texter writes, can this new procedure be used in the mitral valve in addition to the tricuspid valve?
So that's a very insightful question.
Yes. I wonder if it's a doctor. No. Go ahead.
Well, the tricuspid procedure that we're talking about was actually developed on the basis of what we've done on the mitral valve for 20 years now. It's very similar to the mitral procedure. It's just that the catheter has different designs and the way it goes in to fit the tricuspid valve. And so it's a very similar procedure on both sides.
And we have about 2 minutes left, and I just kind of want to take a step back and look at the big picture. Thanks, everyone, for being part of the show this morning. How life-changing is this new transcatheter edge-to-edge Abbott TriClip, the tier system? How would you characterize it in terms of life-saving and helping patients?
So it can actually be quite remarkable how patients do, because the main benefit of this procedure is the quality of life. The quality of life that patients with leaky tricuspid valves can be really, really poor because of the fatigue and low output and how they might struggle. And this procedure, because it corrects that leaky tricuspid valve and gets things moving in the right direction, it can really impact a patient's life in many ways. We have a patient who told us just recently how much she loves her skinny legs and how she's able to put her shorts on for the first time in many years. And these types of comments, they're very difficult to measure, but it's overall, it's a general sense of just incredible improvements in the quality of life.
That's awesome. Well, we really appreciate your time, and I know you have led the way at the Minneapolis Heart Institute Foundation. You did a lot of work to get this to where it is today, and I appreciate your coming on. And for being so, it was a very educational hour, I felt. I learned quite a lot about my heart and the river flow and the river bed. And I think we can all take things from this today and remember to the fundamentals of, you know, eating a balanced diet and getting exercise. All that does contribute in the big picture, doesn't it?
It absolutely does. We have to take care of ourselves. And it's been a pleasure to talk about this. It's a passion of ours. And I'm just so delighted to be able to share this with you.
Have a wonderful day.
Thank you very much.
All right. Again, Dr. Paul Seraja with Allina Health Minneapolis Heart Institute with us on News Talk 830 WCCO. It is 7:56. Good morning. It is 9 minutes past 7 o'clock on a Sunday morning. Cloudy, 62 degrees out there. I'm Susie Jones. Happy to have you with us on this Memorial Day weekend. We are honoring all those who gave the ultimate sacrifice and served in this country to protect it, including my dad, Josh Wheeler, is at the helm this morning.
Nice.
My dad is buried at Fort Snelling, and we went there yesterday to honor him, and then we went to his mother, my Grandma Jones, and had a nice day.
There we go.
Yeah, a lot going on this weekend at Fort Snelling. Also, Lakewood's having a big ceremony as well. So our thoughts on this Memorial Day. We're also talking, as we do every week, about a different part of your body, a different piece of your health that we hope will bring you some good information that you can take with you today on this Sunday. Allina Health Minneapolis Heart Institute announcing just recently that it has been the first to perform a procedure using a specialized piece of equipment. And we have invited to the program to talk more about that is Dr. Paul Seraja, who is an interventional cardiologist. Good morning, Dr. Seraja. Thanks for coming on with us.
Good morning, Susie, and thank you so much for having me.
I'm glad to have you. Can you kind of explain what this is? Maybe you can tell us what it is, and then how it works and who it will help.
Yeah, so this is a procedure that is called TriClip, and TriClip is a means of something we call transcatheter tricuspid valve repair. And what it does is it's a minimally invasive procedure in which we go through a vein in the leg and use a small device called a TriClip to put a leaky valve back together. And these leaky valves that happen in patients with tricuspid regurgitation actually are quite common, affecting millions of people in the United States alone.
So then does this end up replacing open heart surgery?
Yeah, in many ways, it does. If it is successful in reducing the leak, which it is in about 90 to 95% of cases, then it'll avoid the need for open heart surgery and the recovery that can go with that.
And I also wanted to ask how many people in the country are affected by this particular situation with their heart, leaky valves, as it were.
Yeah, so there are multiple different types of leaky valves in the heart because the heart has four different types of valves. But leaky valves that involve the tricuspid position or tricuspid regurgitation affects around 2 to 2.5 million people in the United States. So it's actually quite common, and it gets more common as people get older.
And how do you know if you have a leaky valve?
So these leaky valves, the way they affect patients is they cause symptoms of shortness of breath. They can cause some fatigue. Sometimes patients can feel they can't finish their meals because there's congestion in their bowel or in their legs. So they might have something known as low extremity edema or swelling of the legs. And sometimes these symptoms are really just vague. In other words, they seem like they could be due to something else, and sometimes it's just not quite right.
Again, you are listening to Dr. Paul Seraja with Allina Health Minneapolis Heart Institute talking about a new procedure using Abbott's TriClip transcatheter repair system. And basically, when you see someone and they present, what is the process by which you determine whether or not they are likely candidate?
So the first thing is to decide whether or not the symptoms are related to the problem. And so we look at the problem of the leaky bowel and see how severe it is. And if it looks like it is severe, do diagnostic testing such as an ultrasound of the heart or something we call an echocardiogram. Then from there, as a clinician, we do a lot of investigative work to make sure that the valve can be repaired with the TriClip system. That investigative work would include further testing like an echocardiogram in which a probe is passed down the esophagus to take a closer look at the valve. And the reason why that has to be done is because this system is a repair system, and we have to be sure that we can repair the valve. Sometimes we can't repair the valve, and the valve has to be fully replaced.
It is 7:14 on News Talk 830 WCCO, and we want to invite you to be part of the conversation as well. If you're listening and you have someone who has this condition or you have a question about it, the number to call is 651-461-9226, 651-461-9226. You can either call that number with a question or you can text it, and we'll pass it along to the doctor as we continue our conversation on this new procedure at the Allina Health Minneapolis Heart Institute. We'll be back right after this. And we're back. It is 18 minutes past 7 o'clock on a Sunday morning. I'm Susie Jones. We're talking about your heart this morning on this Sunday, this Memorial Day weekend. Dr. Paul Saraja is with us. He is a cardiologist, and he is with the Allina Health Minneapolis Heart Institute. We're talking about a new procedure that was done there to help those with leaky valves or leaky hearts. Dr. Saraja, we do have some text questions coming in at 651-461-9226. You can call or you can text 651-461-9226. A person texted in a short bit ago asking, my husband is 79 and has aortic stenosis. Would using this procedure help him? And what is aortic stenosis, doctor?
So great question. So aortic stenosis is a condition of the heart that affects the valve of another valve in the heart called the aortic valve. And it's actually very, very common in patients in that age group, affecting around 3 to 5% of patients. And what aortic stenosis does is it causes a narrowing of the aortic valve to where there's increased pressure as the heart is trying to empty. And that valve condition can also be treated with a catheter. It's a different type of catheter that we use, and usually, almost always, we just simply have to replace that valve because it's a different condition. Aortic stenosis cannot be repaired, but we can replace it. But the procedure and the recovery is very similar to the TriClip system. It's a procedure that takes about 45 minutes or so, and the patients usually can go home the next day. Sometimes patients with aortic stenosis cannot be treated with a catheter-based procedure. In those cases, they need to have open-heart surgery.
All right, thank you for that. 651-461-9226, 651-461-9226. And this tricuspid valve regurgitation, am I saying that correct?
You are.
Great. Texter writes in, is this particular condition hereditary? Does it run in families?
It can in a small number of cases. Around 90 to 95% of the time, it's related to getting older, and it's related to having some other cardiovascular conditions that can cause enlargement of the heart. But in about 5% of cases, it can be inheritable and related to a condition that's genetic, something called degenerative disease, and that is inheritable.
651-461-9226, another question coming in. I had a failing bicuspid aortic valve replaced with a bovine valve. Could this system that is more conservative could have been used instead?
Yeah, so that bicuspid valve, it's similar to the question that was asked earlier about aortic stenosis. Bicuspid valve disease can either cause stenosis or a leak. And in those cases, because it's the aortic valve cannot be repaired. It has to be replaced. And so having it done with bovine valve replacement was the most appropriate treatment for you.
Okay, good to know. Thanks for that text question, caller. We're talking about this tricuspid valve regurgitation, this condition, and I'm just reading here that I don't know this, but it is a condition in which the valve between the two right heart chambers, they don't close properly. And when that blood then, that leak, that causes a number of different problems. Is that true?
That's correct. And so the tricuspid valve sits on the right side of the heart. And what it is normally doing, it is normally carrying blood from the body to the lungs. And it's usually made of three leaflets. That's why it's called tri, so tricuspid, so three cusps. And in certain patients, as the heart can enlarge for a variety of reasons, those three leaflets have trouble closing. The way I often describe it to patients is it's like having a few doors that instead of shutting, the doors are swinging open. And as a result, that leak and congestion can then go backward and fill up the liver, the kidneys, the bowel. It can fill up the legs and cause swelling the legs. And then as a result, the heart doesn't work as effectively as it usually does.
So this is just blood that's running into your body that's filling up different places? How does it actually do that? You know what I mean?
Yeah. So think of the system in the heart. The heart, you know, and vessels are all designed as a system to move blood in one direction. So it's like one big river. These leaky valves, they're affecting that one directional river, kind of like the locks in the Panama Canal. Hmm. You know, these valves are meant to shut and allow pressure in that river to move to higher and higher stages of pressure. And so what happens is that if these valves leak, well, then that pressure that is meant to build up as it goes through the body simply goes backwards.
Isn't the human body fascinating?
It is. It's the most amazing engineering on this earth, in my opinion.
I mean, just you saying that, I guess I know about blood and such, but I really didn't understand it quite the way as you said it, with a river and different lock and dam systems, and not being able to close it properly upsets the entire process of the river flow. Because, yeah, that is so interesting. I love that.
That's right. That's how those valves work in the heart. So there are four valves, and the callers have asked about aortic stenosis, and we're talking about tricuspid, and those are two of the four valves that help with that lock system that increases pressure throughout the river.
Cool. 651-461-9226. If you have a question for Dr. Paul Zarosia with Allina Health, and we're talking about this new technology, this new procedure that's been used, we have some more questions and some more texts. Caller called in and didn't want to go on the air, but asks you this question. Is having a leaky valve the same as having a heart murmur?
Yeah, that's a great question. So typically it is. So
describe both, if you wouldn't mind.
Yeah, sure. So a murmur is the sound of turbulence within the heart. So in that river, if it's a really straight stream, it's going to be kind of quiet. But if that river is disturbed, just like if there's a rock in the river or a dam, then there's going to be some turbulence, and that's the sound of a murmur. So that turbulence can be due to a variety of things. It can be due to a narrowing of the valve. It can be due to a leaky valve. It can also be due to just somebody being really athletic, and the blood is just rushing really fast. So a variety of things. So murmurs are a general term for turbulence in the heart, and valves can cause that turbulence, hence they can cause murmurs.
Oh, I love that. I love this visualization. That's what's happening. I'm sort of visualizing all of these rivers and locks and dams and and various other and sundry things affecting the river. I wanted to ask you this because and my mom is listening because she always does on Sunday. God bless her. She always asks me how my cholesterol is, and I'm sort of poo-poo about it. I'm really sort of ridiculously laissez-faire about my health sometimes, and then I'm wildly concerned about it. I kind of vacillate between where I am at 61. Anyway, I had it checked on Friday, and I got the results back, and my cholesterol, total cholesterol, is 265. That is high, I believe.
It is high, and thanks for sharing. That is high.
Again, it's like it's a bad number. Should I be embarrassed? Should I not tell people? In terms of the river scenario, what does cholesterol look like in the river?
So that's a great question. And so the arterial bed and the venous bed within the body, you know, is part of that river. And when cholesterol is high, what can happen is that plaques can build up within those beds. And as a result, if these plaques build up over time, they can cause an obstruction to the flow. Mm. And as a result, then that can put demands on the heart. And eventually, over time, it could cause heart trouble, including heart disease, a heart attack, or heart failure. So it's important to have that cholesterol check and try to mitigate or reduce that cholesterol as much as possible.
And in terms of mitigating that and taking sort of a Lipitor or something of that nature, is that safe or is it better to try to whatever? I mean, I'm not overweight, but lose weight and eat better. Can you do it with diet or if it runs in the family, are you just, you know, beating your head against a wall?
Well, we can't choose our parents. It is genetic to a large extent, but it is important to try to do diet. It's important to take medications when indicated. All those things help, and sometimes it is just genetic. That's just the way it goes. But you know, taking those medicines are very safe. Medicines like statins, like Lipitor or Zocor or Crestor or these medicines have been around for many decades, and they've been shown to be very beneficial with very few side effects.
So once again, am I understanding the cholesterol and its how it fits into the river? You're saying it's more about the bed of the river and that if it builds up plaque, it can close the arteries and the veins and then you can have a heart attack.
That's correct. And these plaques, when they build up, they tend to affect the arteries more. They can affect the big arteries as well as little arteries that feed our organs. And the way cholesterol affects and causes these plaques is that they tend to affect the peripheral organs more than the main conduits within the artery.
Okay.
So in other words, patients can get plaques in the arteries that feed the heart, plaques that feed the arteries in the brain, which can be associated with dementia.
Mm-hmm.
It can also affect plaques that feed the arteries in the kidneys and cause kidney disease. And those are unfortunate consequences, but they're all treatable if one sees a doctor and gets things measured appropriately.
Yeah, I was going to say, that's really the key, isn't it? At one point on a story I did, I'm really a news person, I just do this show on Sundays, I had an opportunity to go to the Minneapolis Heart Institute and take a test where you put your arms up and is it measure plaque in your heart?
That's right. So I believe you probably had a calcium score.
Yes, calcium, that's it, yes.
Yep.
And it was really
absolutely
good. It was really good, as I recall.
That's great. That's good. And so calcium is the result of inflammation in the blood vessels of the heart. And that inflammation, it's like a scar. You know, the calcification is our body's way of trying to take something that is foreign and make it and trying to isolate it or react to it. And that calcification is what a marker of inflammation is in the heart. And so if one doesn't have calcification, that's good. If somebody does have calcification, then it does depend on the extent of it and also how much underlying disease there is.
A lot going on there. It is 7:31 on News Talk 830 WCCO. Want to make sure that you know, listening this morning, that you are invited to join the program. If you have a question, maybe you had something going on in your life and you wanted to bounce it off the doctor, 651-461-9226. That is our talk and text line. This texter writes, I have a mitral valve leak that is being watched now. For 1 week, I've had swelling in both feet and ankles and gained 5 pounds. Should I be concerned? I don't know if you want to address that. Go ahead.
I'd be delighted to. Yeah. So the mitral valve is another valve in the heart. So we've talked about the tricuspid and we've talked about the aortic so far this morning. And the mitral valve is on the left side of the heart. And it's a valve that has two parts, a front and back. And in terms of leaks, it is actually the one that has the most prevalence of leak in the United States. Anywhere from 8 to 10 million people in the United States can have a leaky mitral valve. And very similar to the tricuspid valve, when this valve leaks, it can cause congestion, it can cause shortness of breath, and the symptoms that are described with swelling of the legs. And it's very important that the mitral valve, if it is severe and if it's affecting a patient causing heart failure, that gets addressed, because the mitral valve, it can be life-threatening. Not that you need to go to the ER right now or anything, but life-threatening in a chronic basis over a period of many years.
All right, we have to take our bottom of the hour break and share news about weather, which everybody always appreciates, Dr. Sriraja. So we'll take a break here, but we've got some phone calls and more questions. I love talking about the heart. It's so fascinating now. I'm just learning so much about what a heart looks like and its function. More information on the heart coming up right after this on News Talk 830 WCCO. Good morning and welcome back. I'm Susie Jones and you are listening to WCCO Radio and our Health Hour every Sunday morning at 7 o'clock. And we're talking about news from the Allina Health System, Minneapolis Heart Institute, announcing it is the first to perform a procedure using Abbott's TriClip Transcatheter Edge-to-Edge Repair System. And it helps people with leaky valves. And we are so grateful to have with us on our newsline Dr. Paul Sriraja, an interventional cardiologist, talking about the heart, this specific condition. And we have invited your calls and your texts, 651-461-9226. And we are getting a number of text questions. This texter writes, can sleep apnea cause this regurgitation or make it worse? Thanks.
Great question. Yes, it can. And the way it works or way it does that is that sleep apnea can cause pressures in the lungs to be elevated. And that those pressures when they're elevated in the lungs is also known as pulmonary hypertension. And pulmonary hypertension can cause or make a leaky tricuspid valve worse.
Okay, another texture, having swollen feet and ankles for a week and no blood clot seen after ultrasound, I'm on beta blockers. And I guess they've been on this for 8 years, just wondering if that they should be concerned.
So beta blockers themselves are not known to cause swelling of the legs. It might be written that way somewhere, in some log or description of side effects, but clinically, they're not known to cause swelling of the legs. Swelling of the legs can be due to a variety of things. Certainly, it can be due to tricuspid regurgitation or the leaky tricuspid valve, but it can also be due to other things like mechanical issues with the lower extremities or vascular circulation that the person describes.
651-461-9226. This texter writes, great show. I am fascinated by the many workings of the heart. Can alcohol or caffeine damage any or all of the parts of the heart? Thank you. That's a good one. I think a lot of people wonder about that. Yeah.
As I sip my morning coffee, I think about that. but no. Caffeine would not be expected to affect the heart's function. Certainly, it can cause some irregularities in the heart's rhythm, per se, like skip beats that patients can sometimes feel as like palpitations. But caffeine itself does not affect the heart's function. Alcohol, on the other hand, can, in a heavy use scenario, cause the heart's muscle to become relatively weak. Mm. And over time, that weakness can cause the valves in the heart to leak more, simply because as the heart becomes weak, it enlarges, and that enlargement pulls these valves apart.
Okay. Well, that's good to know. I know I'm sort of the... I'm not against alcohol, but I know that it does a lot of damage. And I think I interviewed a doctor, an interventional doctor, years and years ago, who said that alcohol is related to so many of the conditions that people come in with, chronic conditions, and it really does a number on your body. Another texter writes, I have SVT, and doctors have mentioned that having an ablation done would be a good idea. How is this done, and what is SVT, doctor?
Yes, so SVT stands for supraventricular tachycardia. Mm. And what that is, it's an arrhythmia of the heart. The heart has a mechanical function. It has an electrical function. And the electrical system of the heart can sometimes become irregular for a variety of reasons. And the top chambers of the heart have to talk to the bottom chambers. And when the top chambers kind of get ahead of themselves, that's what we call it supraventricular tachycardia. Supra means above the ventricles, and tachycardia means a fast heart rate. These arrhythmias, they can be genetic. They can be related to a person's own particular circuitry within the heart. And like an electrician who would need to go in and repair an electrical system, we have a specialty within cardiology called electrophysiology, in which these physicians can use catheters like what I use, and these catheters can go in and treat these arrhythmias or SVTs. And they go in and touch up the electrical system with a procedure called an ablation. Mm. And the ablation, it works really well for patients with SVT. 99% of the time, it's all you need, and actually it may be the only time you ever need a procedure again.
That's great. Thank you for that answer. A caller wanted to know, what are the risks involved in having your valve replaced for a patient who currently has or has had bladder cancer? Would that have an impact on... Yeah, I was going to say, if you have a condition like that, does that preclude you from having a procedure done?
Sometimes they do. Sometimes other procedures need to be done before a heart procedure needs to be done. But usually because of the critical nature of the heart and the valves that go on, it's almost always the heart and its conditions that need to be treated first. The one exception that I can think of and tell you right now that's important, and this is important for all general health, is your teeth. Because whenever we do these procedures and we do repairs and replacements, we have to put little foreign bodies in there to help repair, replace these valves. And those foreign bodies potentially can become infected early on after they're implanted. And the most common reason for that infection is feeding a bacteria from one's teeth. And mm-hmm. So ahead of these procedures, we always ask patients to get their teeth taken care of before we do these procedures.
Teeth, and like your teeth, your teeth.
Yes, see a dentist. Yeah, to see a dentist.
Is that strange? That's kind of weird, isn't it? What do your teeth have to do with your health and heart?
Yeah, so it's amazing, and actually, there's a lot of really interesting literature out there. But when we brush our teeth, what we do is we actually cause bacteria that live in our mouths to go into our bloodstream. And those bacteria, as they circulate within our bloodstream, usually because we have pretty healthy immune systems, those bacteria get cleared up without a problem. But every now and then, those bacteria can find themselves in areas that can cause an infection of the heart. And if one has foreign material in the heart, like material that's used for repair, replacement, that infection can happen as we brush our teeth. And as a result, it can become actually a life-threatening problem. So that's why it's really important for all of us to see dentists regularly and to make sure our teeth are clean. And we certainly have to insist upon that before we do interventional procedures like those that we do on the valve.
That's fascinating. I'm learning so much. This is like the best hour ever. All right, and we have to take our last break, but we have a lot of questions we'll try to squeeze in. It is 7:45 on News Talk 830 WCCO. All right, we're back. It is 7:50. We have about 6 minutes left with Dr. Paul Seraja, a cardiologist with the Line of Health, and we're talking about a new procedure using Abbott's TriClip transcatheter edge-to-edge repair system to treat leaky tricuspid valves. And Dr. Seraja, we have just about 5 minutes left, 6 minutes, so we'll get to as many questions as we can. Just want to say this. This texter wrote a short time ago, my wife had this procedure done on her left valve May 2nd. Out the next day, went very well. She's 78 with COPD, and open heart surgery was not a good idea. So there's an example of how this was used to help someone.
Fantastic. Yeah. That's wonderful to hear.
Yeah. What part of inflammation in the arteries does that play in plaque buildup, and what can we do, or what can cause that inflammation, this texter writes?
Yeah, so plaque buildup is related to inflammation, and we've learned that it really is an inflammatory disease. The inflammation happens as a response to things that insult the arteries of the heart. It can be due to high cholesterol. It can be due to things that we ingest. It can be due just to an overreaction from a genetic perspective to how our body deals with things that are in the bloodstream. And that inflammation then causes these plaques to build up over time. Plaques, as one way one might think about it, is it's kind of like when you get a cut on your skin and you have a little bit of scar that develops afterwards. That's what happens, is that the arteries themselves have some type of injury, and then the body reacts to it by building up these plaques around it.
Okay, very good. 651-461-9226. A caller wanted to know, what is cardiac amyloidosis? Did I say that right?
Yes, yes. So cardiac amyloidosis is a condition in which proteins that circulate within the bloodstream get abnormally deposited in the muscle of the heart. And it can also be deposited in the blood vessels. And that deposition of a protein over time, what it does is it causes the heart muscle to not be able to function as well as it should. And the heart has a couple of functions. It has a function of needing to be able to fill and then needing to be able to empty. Just like that analogy of the river I described earlier, it's a river that constantly has to be pushed throughout the system. And what happens in patients with amyloidosis is that the proteins that get deposited in the muscle of the heart reduces the heart's ability to fill. It becomes relatively stiff. Mm. And over time, patients can then develop congestive heart failure because the lungs cannot empty into the heart like they should.
Interesting. All right. This texter writes, can this new procedure be used in the mitral valve in addition to the tricuspid valve?
So that's a very insightful question.
Yes, I wonder if it's a doctor. No. Go ahead.
Well, the tricuspid procedure that we're talking about was actually developed on the basis of what we've done on the mitral valve for 20 years now. It's very similar to the mitral procedure. It's just that the catheter has different designs and the way it goes in to fit the tricuspid valve. And so it's a very similar procedure on both sides.
And we have about 2 minutes left, and I just kind of want to take a step back and look at the big picture. Thanks, everyone, for being part of the show this morning. How life-changing is this new transcatheter edge-to-edge Abbott TriClip, the tier system? How would you characterize it in terms of life-saving and helping patients?
So it can actually be quite remarkable. how patients do, because the main benefit of this procedure is the quality of life. The quality of life that patients with leaky tricuspid valves can be really, really poor because of the fatigue and low output and how they might struggle. And this procedure, because it corrects that leaky tricuspid valve and gets things moving in the right direction, it can really impact a patient's life in many ways. We have a patient who told us just recently how much she loves her skinny legs and how she's able to put her shorts on for the first time in many years. And these types of comments, they're very difficult to measure, but it's overall, it's a general sense of just incredible improvements in their quality of life.
That's awesome. Well, we really appreciate your time, and I know you have led the way at the Minneapolis Heart Institute Foundation. You did a lot of work to get this to where it is today, and I appreciate your coming on. And for being so, it was a very educational hour, I felt. I learned quite a lot about my heart and the river flow and the river bed. And I think we can all take things from this today and remember to the fundamentals of, you know, eating a balanced diet and getting exercise. All that does contribute in the big picture, doesn't it?
It absolutely does. We have to take care of ourselves. And it's been a pleasure to talk about this. It's a passion of ours. And I'm just so delighted to be able to share this with you.
Have a wonderful day.
Thank you very much.
All right. Again, Dr. Paul Seraja with Allina Health Minneapolis Heart Institute with us on News Talk 830 WCCO. It is 756.